live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth. We're listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Thursday on this 23rd day of April 2026. And I've been real depressed lately, and I almost got involved in the Rodney Howard Brown laughing revival to cheer myself up. But thankfully, Justin Peters talked me out of it. I'm just kidding, folks. But it is so much of a joy to me to have my friend Justin Peters return to the program. He's been a friend for a number of years and was even one of my Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon speakers a number of years ago. Justin Peters is a highly sought-after Bible conference speaker, author, podcast host, and founder of Justin Peters Ministries. Today we are going to be addressing, was Pentecostalism ever truly a holiness movement? And we'll also be discussing why we should be extremely concerned that Paula White is spiritual advisor for the leader of the free world. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Justin Peters.
Chris, it's a joy to be back with you, brother. Always an honor. Thank you so much for the invitation.
And if you could just give a brief summary about yourself and your ministry and why it is that you are so often discussing the dangerous and aberrant and often extremely heretical teachings that one commonly finds in the Pentecostal and charismatic movements. Why is that such a core of your ministry? Although it's not exclusively what you address, but it is a very dominant area that you address, and tell our listeners why.
Sure, Chris, it is. So long story short, I was born in Mississippi, and I was born with cerebral palsy. And when I was a teenager, well, first, my family and I, my parents and I, were Southern Baptists, so at least in theory, we were not charismatic. But when I was a teenager, a neighbor of ours just down the street came up to me one day. His name was Charlie, and Charlie said, Justin, God has spoken to me, and he's told me that he's going to heal you as long as you have enough faith. And as a teenager, that really resonated with me. I wanted to be healed. I wanted to be able to do the things that my friends were doing. And so I got wrapped up in what I now know to be the Word of Faith movement. I didn't know it had a name, or I just thought as Baptists, we had kind of been missing a big part of the Bible about healing. But I went to see faith healers back then in hopes of being healed. And the primary one was a woman named Nora Lam, L-A-M. Chinese woman who wrote a book titled China Cry. And I later, years later, found out that it pretty much everything that she wrote in her book was fabricated, just made up.
Wow.
But I went to see those faith healers believing that I had enough faith and that I would be walking. And of course, that did not happen. I still have cerebral palsy. And so that was my first introduction to this movement. But it wasn't until years later, as a seminary student that I began to study this movement at a more academic level. And as I did, I began to realize, wow, this is a lot worse than just health and wealth. This is more than just about Rolex watches and physical healing. This is a different gospel. It's got a different view of God, a different view of Christ, an elevated view of man, a different view of the atonement, and on and on and on. And so that sent me down the rabbit hole. And I ended up writing my master's thesis in seminary for my THM, Master of Theology degree at Southwestern Seminary. But I wrote my master's thesis on Benny Hinn and the Word of Faith movement. This was back in 2002. And at the time, Benny Hinn was kind of at the zenith of his popularity. And so then a couple of years after that, a church heard about my master's thesis, asked me to come teach on this movement, and I did. And I kind of put early forms of what I now call Clouds Without Water, which is a seminar that is a biblical refutation of the health and wealth gospel, the Word of Faith movement, Benny Hinn, Kenneth Copeland, Joel Osteen, Joyce Meyer, and Paula White, and Bethel Church, Hillsong, all those, that crowd.
That was actually the theme of when you were my keynote speaker at my free pastor's luncheon a number of years ago.
It was. I remember that. I sure do. And I enjoyed that very much, too. It was a good time. But this movement, Chris, is, unfortunately, it is the face of Christianity around most of the world today. Around most of the world, when you think of Christianity, you think of one of two things. It's either Roman Catholicism, which is not Christian, or it is the Word of Faith movement, the prosperity gospel, and the charismatic movement kind of in a general sense. That is what most people think about Christianity, and it's not Christian. It's decidedly not Christian. It's, I've said before, I think, on your show, Chris, that there are a number of secondary doctrines that we as Christians can have friendly disagreements over. Eschatology. Are you pre-mill? Are you a-mill? Are you post-mill? Well, at least two of those positions is wrong, right? They can't all be true, but none of those positions is heretical. But so there's, who wrote the book of Hebrews, that kind of thing. But the Word of Faith movement, that's a different animal. You've crossed the line into heresy. It blurs the line between God the Creator and us His created, and it demotes God, it deifies man, and it wreaks spiritual carnage everywhere it goes.
Yes, and I think it would probably be wise for us to make sure that our listeners know that we are not intentionally going to be broad brushing here. There are even charismatic and Pentecostal pastors and congregants who are opposed to the Word of Faith movement also. And although we would disagree very strongly with their continuism or continuationism, their non-cessationist views of the sign gifts, there are brothers and sisters in Christ out there who, some of them even agree exactly as we do on 99% of theological issues, but they still have that baggage that that we are opposed to. And it brought to my memory a very dear friend of mine who is now with the Lord, Al Stein. He was pastor of the Neighborhood Assembly of God in Belmore, Long Island. When I first met him, he was not by name, he didn't identify himself as an Arminian, but he was basically on that side of theology, although very much fascinated by and began reading deeply into the writings of many Reformed Christians, including George Whitfield, who became a hero of his, and John MacArthur, who also became a hero of his. despite John's very strict cessationist positions. And several years before Brother Al was killed in an automobile accident in upstate New York during the winter when his car went out of control on an icy road. Before that, several years before that, he had become a full-blown five-point Calvinist. And although he never became a cessationist, a full-blown cessationist, he watched the videos of John MacArthur's conference on Strange Fire, and he told me that he agreed with about 95% of the conference. So there are people out there that are not the villains and charlatans of the Word of Faith movement. You would acknowledge that, correct?
That, oh yes, of course. Yes. And the continuance or lack thereof of the sign gifts is a secondary issue. It's not something that we break fellowship over. I would say it's a very important issue because there's a lot of other ripple effects in how you view a number of other issues.
Especially modern revelation.
Especially modern revelation and God speaking outside of Scripture and that kind of thing. So, sufficiency of Scripture is certainly at stake there. But I'll put it this way, that all Word of Faith are charismatic, but not all charismatics are Word of Faith.
Exactly. And today's program, just so our listeners know, I originally had a different title to it, as you know. I was originally going to call the show Whatever Happened to the Pentecostal Movement, and When Did It Cease Being a Holiness Movement? And I had that in my mind as a theme because I could remember going back to the 1980s when I was searching for truth. I had not yet been born again. I visited many charismatic and Pentecostal churches, and then I finally got saved in a Reformed Baptist church. But back in the 80s, even though there were definitely different kinds of charismatic and Pentecostal churches, they were never monolithic, but at least you could find Pentecostal pastors and churches that had a high view of holiness. Unfortunately, it was often legalistic, but there was at least some effort and attempt at being holy and preserving the biblical morality of Scripture. Of course, that sometimes went overboard. There were Pentecostals that I had met that didn't even believe in wearing wedding rings. There were a far cry from a Word of Faith movement that brags about wearing a Rolex. women wearing dresses that had hems that went down to their feet, never wearing makeup and all that. And again, I'm not saying that legalism is a good thing, but there were at least efforts of maintaining and preserving and teaching modesty and many other issues that are involving morality and so on. And then in our modern day, you hear regularly about mega church charismatic leaders who may be caught in adultery, but are they excommunicated? Are they out of the ministry? No, they're just right back in the pulpit. And people will say, hey, we're all sinners, so we can't judge that person just because he had a lover on the side or 10 lovers on the side, or she had 10 lovers on the side. We have to forgive that. And since they're so gifted and so anointed by God, we've got to have them back in their pulpits because we really need them. The church really needs them. God really needs them. That's the kind of attitude people have. And you actually challenged me about the theme about whatever happened to the Pentecostal holiness movement and when did it stop being holy. You said it never was. So that's why we changed the theme today. And why don't you give us some of this background?
Yeah, Chris, thank you very much. You're correct. I've got an entire session that I teach that is an overview of the history of the Pentecostal / charismatic movement. And again, this is not to say that all charismatics are not striving for holiness, but the reality of the situation is that the entire history of this charismatic movement and the Pentecostal movement is decidedly unholy. When you look at all of the leaders that charismatics refer to as God's generals, there's a book by that title by an author named Robert Leirden, and he details, well, in a very whitewashed way, some of the biographies and the major events and claims of some of these men and women who were leaders and founders of the charismatic movement. And these are people that he refers to as God's generals. But when you look at them, to a man and to a woman, Chris, like literally every single one of them were theological heretics. They were charlatans, hucksters. I mean, just like people that would make the proverbial snake oil salesman look austere and the paragon of morality by comparison. They're just shysters, all of them were, and most of them, the great majority of them, were also sexually immoral, led very sexually immoral lives. The founder of the man who is regarded as the founder of the American Pentecostal movement is a guy named John Alexander Dowie, and he was born in Scotland, I believe. I don't have my notes in front of me, but he moved to the United States and formed the International Divine Healing Association in San Francisco. And he started this cult. And when you look at pictures of him, he would dress in these like priestly robes and garbs. And I mean, he looked like an Old Testament kind of a priest, just very bizarre man. But he formed his own cult called the International Divine Healing Association. Then he later, after a few years after that, formed the Zion Tabernacle in Chicago. And in his cult, he banned all practice of medicine. He said, if you take medicine or if you go see a doctor, then what you're saying is, I don't have faith that God will heal me. And so that's the fastest way to lose your miracle of healing. Because you've got to have the kind of faith that says, Lord, I know that you will heal me. And so if you go see a doctor, well, you're saying, well, I don't really think that God's going to heal me, so I'm going to go see this doctor. And that undercurrent of anti-doctors, anti-medicine, that remains a strong undercurrent in the charismatic movement today. Maybe not in all charismatic circles, but the great majority of them. Because if you seek medical treatment, then what you're saying is, I don't really believe God's going to heal me.
Then isn't that very often, though, only for the people in the pew? Aren't very often these leaders themselves making sure they get the finest in medical treatment when they have illnesses and diseases? I can even remember, I used to work for WMCA Radio, Christian radio affiliate of the Salem Corporation, Salem Media, which is the largest Christian radio network in the world. And there was unfortunately, it wasn't my client. I never would have a client like this. But there was a client that was a very popular program hosted by Clinton and Sarah Utterbach, who were Word of Faith believers and disciples of Kenneth Hagin. They went to his school, And they clearly taught on their show that if you were sick in any way, shape, or form, any level of sickness, that was because of your lack of faith. And we had, the station had a cruise around Manhattan Island, a dinner cruise, and they invited all of the clients and programmers and even listeners could purchase tickets to be on the cruise. And I was standing with my general manager having a conversation before we left the dock and began the trip around Manhattan Island. And lo and behold, who walks on to the ship with a cast on his leg and crutches but Clinton Utterbach? And I didn't say anything, and my boss, knowing my beliefs, said, "Chris, do not say a word." But anyway,
yep.
It's amazing how people see. I don't really feel sorry for the people in the pews of those churches, because they help make these charlatans what they are. They should have been called out for that by their own people.
Well, that's exactly right. And the false teachers wouldn't exist if there weren't a demand for them.
Right.
And so, yeah, that you're absolutely right. And so the people in the pews are culpable. And what I strive to do in my ministry is I want to reach the smattering of sheep that may be in be deceived by false doctrine and reach them with the truth, because the true sheep will hear the truth. They will hear the voice of the shepherd. They will not follow the voice of a hireling. And so they'll come out of this movement. But you're exactly right. What the faith preachers preach doesn't even work for them. Kenneth Copeland has hearing aids. You can look at his fingers. He has arthritis. He has a pacemaker in his chest that he had installed about 4 or 5 years ago. So, you know, and this is the man, and by the way, his wife, Gloria Copeland, who has taught some of the most harmful and hateful things about physical healing. She is, I would say, she's not going to be on this earth for very long.
Yeah, she has dementia, right?
She clearly has advanced dementia, yes. And and yet she has trumpeted for decades that if you're sick, it's your fault.
Right.
Well, now those theological chickens have come home to roost. So, it is very telling that what they teach doesn't even work for them. But this John Alexander Dowie guy, there were many people who died under his care. This is the forerunner of the American Pentecostal movement, including children who died under his care because he withheld medical treatment for them. He was a wicked, wicked man, and he's the forerunner of the American Pentecostal movement. And he also claimed to be a reincarnation of Elijah, and that's a common thing. A lot of God's generals, quote unquote, claim to be Elijah. John Alexander Dowie did. Charles Fox Parham did, William Branham did, a number of them did. You got another guy named Frank Sanford. This is another one of God's generals, supposedly. They all claim to be Elijah.
Huh.
John G. Lake, I believe, he also claimed to be Elijah. And so it's, yeah, they're just total charlatans.
It is interesting you brought up Benny Hinn before, and you wrote your doctoral dissertation on him, and yet thanks be to God, his nephew Costi has renounced that false religion of the Word of Faith movement. And in fact,
yes.
I don't know if you were aware of this, but he chose years ago my show to, for the very first time, publicly announce that he was leaving the Word of Faith movement.
Oh.
And so
I had
the privilege of having him on the show before he became a famous guy. And It was just an honor that he chose my show to make this announcement. But he is a full-blown cessationist and exposing his uncle and even making it clear that he knows beyond doubt that his uncle is not only a deceived man deceiving others, he is a knowing, conscious charlatan.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's right. He is. Paul makes an interesting statement in 2 Timothy 3:13. He talks about those, says, evil men and imposters will grow from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Deceiving and being deceived. And I think both of those dynamics can be at work in the same person. I know a lot about Benny Hinn. I probably know just about as much about him as almost anyone outside of his family. Wrote my master's thesis on him. I know his birthday. He is actively deceiving people. He claims a lot of things in his life, major events in his life that are just factually and objectively not true. He knows the people that he claims are healed on his platform are not healed. So he's actively deceiving. And yet I think there's a part of him that is also being deceived. You've heard it said probably, if you tell a lie often enough, you begin to believe it yourself. And I think there is that dynamic at work in Benny Hinn at some level. But he's still an absolute charlatan and deceiver, 100%.
And by the way, folks, I apologize that I mentioned, or should I say identified my guest's master's thesis as his doctoral dissertation. But is this ever going to become a book?
It's funny you should ask. I am been wanting to turn my Clouds Without Water seminar into a book. I do have it in a shortened version, but I want to go back and put some more meat on the bones and flesh it out more. Right now I've just kind of got it in a condensed version, but Lord willing, a much larger project will be forthcoming. So.
And so tell us more about how this movement began to become so popular and spread like wildfire across the nation and across the world. I have been told by some friends of mine years ago that were Pentecostal, who I believe were well-intentioned and truly born-again believers, just very mistaken in their conclusions about theology and practice when it comes to the sign gifts and so forth. But from what they have told me, the reason why there were men that believed that there was a need for this movement was because of the church becoming dead and liberalism beginning to take a foothold in denominations across the spectrum. The higher critics out of Germany have led people to believe that the miracles of the Bible never happened. And this was their response to that because, you know, they believe that the scriptures are true, that these are not fairy tales. And, of course, they make the leap that if they happened in truth then, in the days of the apostles, there's no reason why they shouldn't be happening in truth now. So take it from there. Is there an element of truth in that development, or do you disagree with it entirely? How do you explain what I just said?
Sure. Well, there was an element of that there was a reaction by some to what they believed to be kind of a cold orthodoxy that was coming out of the Reformation. And you see the beginnings of that really with what's, I believe, erroneously called the Second Great Awakening here in the United States. By the way, there's a great movie out right now called The Great Awakening.
I did a review of it on the show with, I don't know if you know Kurt Smith. You know Brother Kurt Smith? He's a Reformed Baptist pastor in Alabama. And he is an author of a biography of George Whitefield. And he also loved A Great Awakening. I did too, and so we decided to have a review of it on my show. And we had to be honest, obviously. We're Christians. even though we loved the movie and believed that 98% of it was just totally wonderful. And he even said that the sermons that Whitefield was preaching were right from his very original sermons. But the only liberties that, and then of course I may be forgetting something that Kurt said, but the only liberties they took that were obvious were they turned Whitefield into a Baptist. he was himself in the movie immersed as a believer, and that never happened. And he started immersing in water adult believers when they came to Christ, and that didn't happen. And also, his method of evangelism at the coal mines, where he was telling total strangers, even those that were still in a state of rebellion who were heckling him, that God loves them. He was a thoroughgoing Calvinist even at that point, because that was a historic event where he was evangelizing at the coal mine, and he was already a full-blown Calvinist then, so he wouldn't have said that. But everything else was just powerful.
Yeah, I agree. And I noticed some of those same things, too. It's not a perfect movie, but boy, it's I'd say of all the Christian movies that have hit the big screen, the two that I would recommend the most far and away would be A Great Awakening and The Essential Church that came out a couple of years ago about John MacArthur and Grace Community Church, what they went through. So
Both Kurt and I agreed, the vast majority of Christian movies are unfortunately very cheesy and not well made, not well acted. The scripts are horrible. This stood out as being not at all cheesy and low budget looking.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But to the direction I was headed with your question. So the first Great Awakening was a real awakening, true revival, true move of God. The second Great Awakening was not, because it was marked by, Charles Finney was the predominant actor in that, and he was a theological heretic, and he gave rise to a lot of what plagues the evangelical world today. But the charismatic movement in many degrees, in many ways, is kind of sprang out of the Second Great Awakening, with a move away from theology, away from doctrine, towards feelings and emotions. And that's the bread and butter of the modern charismatic movement. I challenge anybody to listen to, for example, Bethel. Go to YouTube and turn on a Bethel service. I promise you, you can hold your breath longer than it will take you to hear someone, one of their preachers or speakers or whatever, to say, "I feel like the Lord is saying." I promise you, you will have plenty of breath left. As soon as a person starts talking, hold your breath, and you will hear the word "feel" before you even come close to needing another breath. Getting back a little bit toward the history, I want to talk about another man, Chris, because this is a name that all charismatics, I'd say almost all charismatics, would know and would revere. And that name is Charles Fox Parham. Charles Fox Parham. He is the founder, the official founder of the American Pentecostal movement. And he is widely regarded as one of God's greatest generals in this movement. Parham, a little rundown on him. Parham taught that the Old Testament character Job suffered because he was living in sin. That's the reason all the calamities. Yep. Standard, one of his standard doctrines.
Even though the Bible doesn't say that at all. In fact, it says in all this, Job did not sin.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. He founded the Bethel Healing School and School of Prophecy. That probably sounds familiar. Bethel Church nowadays. Well, he's the one that first came up with the Bethel Healing School. He said that preachers who do not preach, quote, the gospel of healing will face, and I quote again, utter condemnation before God. So he believed that physical healing was just as much an essential component of the gospel as was being forgiven of sin. And if you don't preach healing, then when you die, you'll go to hell. He, like John Alexander Dowie, he had this anti-medicine bent. He derided Christians for going to doctors. If you go to a doctor, you don't have enough faith. He was a complete huckster, by the way. He had a couple of different scams to raise money. One of them was the Ark.
Oh, my guest is frozen. I'm not sure why this is happening.
That he could go find it. He just needs money to fund his trip. So he raised from his followers all kinds of money to go find the Ark of the Covenant. And of course, he never found the Ark of the Covenant, but he kept the money. So he didn't find the Ark. Indiana Jones found the Ark of the Covenant, not Charles. And one of the things, Chris, and this is something that's going to be an inconvenient truth, maybe even for some of the people listening to us right now, because of how highly regarded and esteemed Charles Fox Parham was and remains to this day. Charles Fox Parham was a homosexual.
Openly?
No, not openly, but he was. He was arrested for sodomy back when such things were actually crimes in this country. Of course, now they're celebrated, but back then it was a crime. And then
very recently was on the books as a crime in some states.
Yeah, yeah. In some states. That's right. That's right. So he was actually arrested for sodomy, and he was accused of being sexually aggressive towards an underage boy.
Wow.
Now, he denied it, but even his denial was interesting because he said his denial was, well, I was sleepwalking. Like, yeah, come on.
By the way,
I may have been born at night, but I wasn't born last night. Yeah. So,
if you could pick up where you left off there, because this is an important story, obviously. I have to go to my first break here. But sure. If anybody has any questions, you can submit them to chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence and your country of residence. If you live outside the USA, only remain anonymous. If your question involves a personal and private matter, don't go away. We'll be right back.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
James White. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net, or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in His sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession, we embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's Word for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging, and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday. We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, we'll see you soon.
Hello, this is Brian Nine, president of Hearts for the Lost Ministry. Our sole mission is to serve the local church and work directly with and alongside pastors and elders with their efforts to equip, excite, and educate their flock in biblical evangelism. We also provide practical experience opportunities in sharing the gospel directly within your immediate community. We accomplish this mission with training and Christ-centered outreach events designed to equip the church and proclaim the good news of the gospel. Our services are always 100% free. If you're looking to equip and mobilize your church for faithful gospel witness, please partner with us. Hearts for the Lost Ministry, serving the church, proclaiming the gospel. Contact us today at heartsforthelost.com. That's heartsforthelost.com. Now, have a heart and go share your faith.
Hi, I'm Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureComm Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureComm Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureComm Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Welcome back. And Justin Peters, right before the first commercial break, you were in the middle of telling us the fascinating story of Charles Fox Parham, an early 20th century general of the Pentecostal movement, who, as it turns out, was a homosexual and was even arrested for aggressively approaching sexually a young boy. So if you want to pick up that story where you left off.
Right. Yeah. That's a inconvenient truth for charismatics in general, who revere him as one of God's generals, and they try to whitewash it. And Robert Sliordon, well, ironically, Robert Sliordon has also admitted himself. He's the author of the book God's Generals. Robert Sliordon himself has admitted to homosexual activity. Now, he says he no longer does it, but I have no confidence in that, because Robert Sliordon is a false teacher, and, well, lost people act like lost people. So, but you can't whitewash it away. Parham's own confession of sorts is really indicting to him, because he claims that he was sleepwalking. That was his excuse. And, of course, that's just laughable.
That's why I'm laughing.
Right, exactly. It's just absurd. But it's pretty devastating for this movement, Chris, because he's the founder. He's the guy that American Pentecostals look to. That's their guy. And yet he was a complete charlatan. He also, by the way, had another scam of raising money. He claimed he had the schematics of a machine that would turn rocks into gold. And so you almost can't even believe some of these things, because they're so patently absurd. But people gave him their money to make this machine to have rocks turned into gold. And of course, he was a complete con artist.
Just like Joseph Smith, founder of the Mormons. He was a con artist before he even was involved in his phony prophecies and things that he and visions from angels and all that. He was a fraud, a charlatan with collectible antiquity items and gold, searching for gold and people's properties and so on.
Yep. Charles Parham and Joseph Smith were cut from the same cloth. Absolutely. And another inconvenient truth for charismatics, really of all stripe, if they believe, which they would, in the gift of tongues. Charles Parham had this school, Bethel School of Healing and Prophecy. He had the school, and he actually had, generally speaking, the right biblical understanding of the gift of tongues, in that he believed it was the ability to speak in a foreign language, just a language that's not known to the one who is speaking it. And you know what? He's right about that. That is the biblical gift of tongues. It would be like me all of a sudden speaking fluent Swahili. It's a known language. It's just not known to me. So, believing that to be true, he sent 18 of his students across the Pacific Ocean on three different ships. One was bound for China, one was bound for India, one was bound for Japan, believing that once they got to those respective locations, his students would get off on the boat and they would be given the gift of tongues, the gift of languages, and they would be able to communicate with the people in their native tongue. Well, it didn't take very long after they got off the boat that they realized that they couldn't understand the people there, and the people there couldn't understand them. They were not given the gift of tongues. And so they had to get back on the ship and sail back across the Pacific Ocean, and they came back in complete failure. This is recorded in a book titled Vision of the Disinherited, The Making of American Pentecostalism by Robert Anderson. He details this. And what's so fascinating about that, Chris, is that it was only after these students came back in complete failure that Parham and these early Pentecostals said, oh, wait a minute. So, we got that wrong. The gift of tongues, you see, is not actually speaking in a known human language, just not known to the one speaking it. What the gift of tongues actually is speaking in unintelligible, ecstatic gibberish. And that has been the charismatic view of speaking in tongues ever since then.
Although they claim that in rare instances there are people speaking in foreign languages, but, you know.
No proof.
Right.
Yeah.
I think even Chuck Smith made some claim of somebody who never spoke French speaking French fluently in a worship service or something like that.
Yeah, that's, you know, you hear these stories like, oh, yeah, I heard about this person who went in some, you know, deep, dark jungle, and he was all of a sudden able to communicate to the people in their native language. And you hear these stories, but it's the theological equivalent of Bigfoot. You know, you've got all these grainy pictures, out of focus pictures, but there's no actual proof that these things exist. There's no bones. There's no, you know, there's no DNA. So it's the theological equivalent of Bigfoot. Lots of rumors, lots of grainy pictures, no proof. So.
Okay. Let me just take one listener question before you continue bringing us the dark history of Pentecostalism here. Let's see. We have Amethyst in Jupiter, Florida. And Amethyst says, were these dark stories that you are referring to widely known? Because it seems that there were many good men who are Pentecostal pastors and even were in history who likely did not know about these things and who lived upright and holy and moral lives.
Were they widely known? I would say they were widely covered up. They were widely whitewashed, but people who were around some of God's generals, you know, John Alexander Dowie, Charles Fox Parham, Amy Semple McPherson is another lady that maybe we can talk about. Catherine Kuhlman is another one. The people around them knew. They absolutely knew. So, you know, people out in Timbuktu, you know, out in nowhere in the middle of the woods, you know, in some Pentecostal church, did they know? Well, probably not. But certainly the movers and the shakers in this movement absolutely did know.
Well, why don't you go ahead, continue.
And there were massive efforts to cover up their sinful lifestyles, but history has a way of recording those things.
Why don't you tell us more about Catherine Kuhlman and Amy Semple McPherson, who you mentioned? And by the way, years ago, and I can't remember her first name, but I had a conversation, and I can't remember if I interviewed her. Maybe if she's listening, she could contact me. But I interviewed a woman who said, and I believe her, she was working for a well-known Reformed ministry, and she was the granddaughter or great-granddaughter of Catherine Coleman, but she renounced the false teaching of her grandmother or great grandmother, and she even had the name Coleman in her last name.
Interesting.
But tell us about these women. And I, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't there a famous movie made about one of them featuring Burt Lancaster? Or am I thinking of a different figure from the Pentecostal history?
I think there was a movie made off of Amy Simple McPherson. I haven't seen it. I don't remember who starred in it. But I'll start with Amy because chronologically she comes before Coleman. So Amy Simple McPherson, she is referred to as the Queen of Pentecostalism. Now, Chris, back in her day, back in the 1920s, Amy Simple McPherson was a rock star. She had the name recognition of any of Hollywood's most famous people. She was a household name back then. She married a man named Robert Simple, and they went to China, much like the students of Charles Parham. They went to China believing that once they got there, they would be given the gift of tongues. And of course, that didn't happen. In fact, her husband, Robert, died just 2 months after they got there. And when he died, Amy was pregnant. Well, she came back to New York, and then she later moved to Chicago, and she married a man named Harold McPherson, hence her name, Amy Simple McPherson. And she always wanted to be in theater. Well, she got her wish, just not maybe the way she originally thought, but she started preaching. She would go out in the open air in the town squares and preach. Now, she would also, as she went to preach, she would leave her baby at home with her husband, Robert. She was the one who wanted to be out with the career. And so she did that. She was not a stay-at-home mom. She was not fulfilling the biblical role that God gives to women to be workers at the home. She was anything but that. She was out constantly. She believed the Holy Spirit wanted her to preach, despite biblical parameters on that. But she was known as Sister Amy, and she had at one time the largest church in Los Angeles. It was called the Angelus Temple, and you can see pictures of it today. The building is still there, and she was very theatrical, Chris. She was kind of like the forerunner of the modern seeker-sensitive movement, the theatrical kind of church. In fact, one Sunday she drove down the aisle in the Angelus Temple on a motorcycle dressed up as a female police officer. Very theatrical, you know, lots of gimmicks. And so she had a very large church, but she was a shyster. She was a theological heretic, and she was sexually immoral. She absconded. She disappeared one time, and it made huge headlines in newspapers all across the country. Amy Simple McPherson disappeared, and the rumors were that she had drowned. They believed that she had drowned out in the Pacific Ocean. Well, she didn't drown. What happened was, in her disappearance, she ran off with a man with the last name of Ormiston, who worked for her. She ran off with him, had an affair with him, and then came back. She made an appearance again. She was discovered, and they asked her, what happened to you? Well, she didn't own up to being an adulteress. She said, I was kidnapped. I was kidnapped by some Mexicans taken across the border. And she said that she was held captive in this shed, basically out in the woods somewhere in Mexico. She was tied up, held hostage, and they left her one day during her captivity, and she managed to free herself of her bonds and escaped and came back across the border and showed up in the United States. And she said, here I am. Well, that story fell apart because the clothes that she was wearing were pristine. It did not look like she had been tied up in the shed for the last several days. She just lied about it, and she lied about it to cover up her affair with Mr. Ormiston. So This is what you expect with false teachers. False teachers, by definition, are not regenerate. They're not saved. So they do not have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And so, therefore, there is no more restraint on their flesh than what any average lost person could muster up. Lost people act like lost people. And she was. She was unregenerate, clearly unregenerate.
Yeah, there was a movie, a fairly modern movie, made called Sister Amy about her. I don't know anything about it, though. I don't know if it was trying to reveal that she was a charlatan or if it was paying tribute to her. I don't know. Maybe both. The movie that I was talking about with Burt Lancaster, a 1960 movie, was about a fictitious character who was a charlatan Pentecostal preacher, Elmer Gantry.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that was from the novel by Sinclair Lewis. So before we enter into the midway break, which we've got to go to shortly, and then when we come back, I want to spend as much time as possible having you warn our listeners about Paula White. I wish that our president could have an audience with you to warn him personally. I don't know if he would listen to you at all, but what else do you have to say before we conclude this chapter? I know that we could have several programs at least just dealing with the history of Pentecostalism, but how would you like to wrap that up before we go into the segment about Paula White?
Sure, Chris. Well, yeah, there's many other people we could talk about. Of course, Catherine Kuhlman, we mentioned her. She was cut from the same cloth. There's William Branham, another heretic, and yet he's widely regarded as one of God's generals. So you look at the history, and all the way up to modern day, Chris, you know, you've got the scandals of Bethel and Hillsong and, you know, Sean Bowles and Brian Houston and Mike Bickle, IHOP. You know, that's sadly, that is the consistent pattern in the charismatic movement, that their leaders, their most well-known leaders are heretics, they're objectively proven false prophets, they're shysters, and they're sexually immoral. That's the pattern. And so you can tell a lot about a movement by looking at the movement's history. If the roots are bad, the fruit's going to be bad too.
Now, when Jimmy Swaggart was exposed as forcing a prostitute, at least the Assemblies of God removed him from the pulpit and put him under discipline, but he just eventually ignored their discipline and started running his ministry as a maverick, from what I understand. Yeah. And he claimed that the reason that he committed adultery with prostitutes is that he was demon-possessed, if you remember. And actually said that a demon with long red nails, I believe, possessed him, which is interesting because obviously you and I don't believe that a born-again believer can be demon-possessed.
That's right.
But at least, as I said, the Assemblies of God... Now, I don't know if they were going to remove him permanently. Jimmy didn't wait long enough for us to find out, but at least they started in the right direction of putting him under discipline and removing him from his pulpit.
Yeah, yeah. That's right, that's right. He was out for a little while and he came back. That's the pattern of these big-name preachers in the Pentecostal movement. They may get out of the saddle for a while, but they come back. There's Ted Shuttlesworth right now, who just a couple of months ago admitted to having adulterous affairs, and he's already back. Mike Bickle is making a comeback. That's the consistent pattern in this movement. Now, I want to say it's not to say that there is not sin, Chris, in our theological circles.
Right.
It happens, sadly. It does. The difference, though, is that when it happens in our camp, even if it's a big name, you know, sadly, we've seen it with Steve Lawson in the last
right,
couple of years. Steve Lawson, we've seen it with some others, Art Azurdia, a couple others, and it, as heartbreaking as it is, the difference is that in our camp, we actually deal with it. We take the biblical qualification of being a pastor, preacher, elder, of being above reproach. We take that very seriously. And if you commit that kind of sin in our theological circles, you're done. You're out of ministry permanently.
Yep.
And unfortunately, it doesn't say you're...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, yeah, and it's not to say that that means you're condemned to eternity in hell. You can be forgiven through faith and repentance, but ministry-wise, you're out of the ministry. You know, you're going to be looking for a secular job, and you can be a church member. It's not to condemn them to hell at all, but we take being above reproach seriously in our theological circles. That is sadly not the case in the Pentecostal / charismatic / Word of Faith movement. Not the case at all.
Yes, and unfortunately, on some occasions when people from our circles have been exposed as adulterers and things like that, and I'm talking about people in pastoral ministry, on some occasions, those men have found a welcoming embrace from charismatic churches. And even though these men have condemned charismatic teaching for decades, they somehow came to tolerate it and welcome it and accepted positions of leadership in those churches so that they could get back to preaching again.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right.
Well, we have to go to our midway break right now. And once again, if you have a question, submit it to chrisarnson@gmail.com. We do have a couple of people waiting to have their questions asked and answered. Please be patient with us. Don't go away. We are going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
This program is sponsored by Hope PR Ministry. Hope PR Ministry is a podcast produced by Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Walker, Michigan. We are dedicated to sharing Reformed biblical content every Wednesday and Friday. Tune in for sermons, lectures, and interviews exploring distinctive Reformed doctrines. If you are looking for Christ-centered content, simply search Hope PR Ministry on your favorite podcast platform to begin listening today. Hope PR Ministry also offers morning meditations, a daily podcast featuring Reformed devotionals designed to nourish your soul. Start your day with these spiritually enriching messages by tuning into Morning Meditations wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnson and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Hello, I'm Phil Johnson, Executive Director of Grace to You with John MacArthur. I've been a frequent guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I highly recommend this show. But today I want to tell you about one of its advertisers, Rare Document Traders. far and away my favorite source for quality Charles Spurgeon memorabilia. Are you looking for that special, unique gift for your pastor or missionary friend or a loved one? Why not purchase a piece of church history that any believer would cherish? Rare Document Traders is your one-step source for Spurgeon's handwritten manuscripts and letters, as well as other rare books and collectible items from church history. In 15 years that they've been in business, they've earned a stellar reputation in the Reformed community with thousands of satisfied customers all around the world, including me. Visit RareDocTraders.com today. That's RareDocTraders.com. Don't forget to mention you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's RareDocTraders.com.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net, or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Greetings. This is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the Word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society. Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, the owners of RoyalDiadem.com love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio so much that not only do they provide financial support for us every single month automatically, on top of that, RoyalDiadem.com gives Iron Sharpens Iron Radio 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener simply by that listener mentioning Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when they purchase their jewelry from RoyalDiadem.com. So whether you're purchasing jewelry they already have in stock at RoyalDiadem.com, or if you're having a one-of-a-kind, customized piece of jewelry created, like an engagement ring, or like taking your church logo, your parachurch ministry logo, your denomination logo, your seminary logo, your business logo, turning it into a pendant for a necklace or a ring, or anything else your imagination and creativity can conjure up. They are masters at creating one-of-a-kind pieces of jewelry, and I've seen their mastery firsthand. But whatever the case may be, whatever the jewelry you're buying for yourself or someone you love, if you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, we get 100% of the profits from the sale. Keep that in mind for Mother's Day, folks. If you want to buy mom a beautiful piece of jewelry, or perhaps your wife, who also deserves a Mother's Day gift if she has children, or even your daughter who has children, With Mother's Day coming up, why not buy a piece of jewelry from RoyalDiadem.com? And you'll also be buying a Mother's Day gift for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, because we will get 100% of the profits from that sale. Go to RoyalDiadem.com and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to my fascinating conversation with Justin Peters, I want to remind you of our urgent need for your financial help. As many of you know, we lost one of the largest advertisers on our show, a Christian bookstore that was providing the very finest and reformed literature globally to clients, customers, at the most reasonable prices. After 50 years of business, they very sadly were forced to close their doors just a few months ago, and therefore we lost a very large source of income. So please help us replace and replenish that lost income. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card. And if you prefer snail mail, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks at the post office, made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, parachurch ministry, your business, your private practice like a law firm or a medical firm, or if it's just a special event, whatever it is, if it's compatible with my beliefs, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign as quickly as possible. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Also, folks, I want you to remember, as much as I am urgently pleading with you for your financial help, I never want anybody in my audience to ever cut into the finances that you have set aside for your Lord's Day giving to your own church where you're a member in order to bless us. Never give your own church where you are a member less money than you normally give your church on the Lord's Day in order to bless us. And if you are really struggling to survive and make ends meet, wait until you're back on your feet and more financially stable before you bless us with a financial gift. But if you are blessed above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, you love the show, you don't want it to go off the air, please share some of that money with us. If you are blessed above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family and you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and trivial purposes, please consider sharing some of that money with us so we can remain on the air. Go to IronShepherdZionRadio.com, click support, then click to donate now. And last but not least, if you are not a member of a biblically faithful, Christ-honoring, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church, no matter where you live on the planet Earth, I have helped people in my audience spanning the globe find churches that are biblically faithful, sometimes even just a couple of minutes from where they live. And that may be you too. In fact, I just got an email today from Silas, who is looking for a church for his family in Torreon, Mexico, and I hope I'm pronouncing that right. And I've already got the church for you, a Reformed Baptist church in Torreon, Mexico, Silas. So keep your eye open for an email sometime this evening after I get off this live program. But you can contact me as well. From wherever you live on the planet Earth, then maybe I can help you too. Send the email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address for questions for Justin Peters, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, city and state, and country of residence. We do have a listener, Susan, in Newville, Pennsylvania, who has a question that's a little off topic, but not really. She says, "Tell Justin Peters I watched his special on Gabe Perot or Perroit. I don't know how to pronounce that. And his subsequent
Perot
and his subsequent videos on him, which one came out today, actually. It was awesome. He's the guy that got in a motorcycle accident and then claimed he went to heaven for 18 days while he was in a coma, and he is such a liar, for lack of a better word. But Justin and Jim Osman did a great job, and I really enjoyed it, along with my daughter, Jade." Well, thank you, Susan. And you want to explain a little bit more about what Susan and Newville's talking about? Because this is what 9 out of 10 times, if not 10 out of 10 times, people who come up with these stories are from charismatic backgrounds.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, almost without exception. The one possible exception would be Don Piper, not John, but Don Piper, who came out of a Southern Baptist background. But a lot of Southern Baptists are, even though they may not be charismatic on paper, they are in functionality and theoretically, or practically, rather. But Susan, thank you. Thank you for watching, and greetings to you and your daughter, Jade. Yes, so Gabe Perot is the latest heavenly tourist. He had an accident when he was 20 years old, almost 21. It was on a skateboard, technically, not a motorcycle, but he had an accident, hit his head very, very hard, no doubt about that, went into a coma for 18 days, and he came out of it, and he's okay now. Spiritually, he's not, but he now has this claim that he went to heaven, and he's got a book out called 18 Days in Heaven, and it is I described it in my video today, I think, it's theological Chernobyl. It is an absolute disaster. Now, it's interesting. I just watched a video of Gabe Perot preaching in a church about 6 or 7 months after his accident, Chris, and there's no mention of heaven. Not one syllable about going to heaven. Nothing. In fact, he even said he doesn't remember anything while he was in his coma. But now, oh, he remembers all kinds of stuff now. He's went to the throne room of God and Jesus. He saw Jesus. Jesus talked to him. They walked around. Jesus kind of showed him all around heaven. Not only that, took him back in time to show him the creation of the world. It's just nonsense, Chris. Just absolute nonsense. But he, you know, the heaven tourism thing kind of seemed to die down for a while after Colton Burpo and Don Piper. That was about 10 years ago, 10 to 15 years ago, that was real popular.
Yeah, Phil Johnson and I covered the Burpo story, I believe, in another
one. Yeah, yeah. That's right. That's right. And, Gabe Burrow, sadly, has kind of revived this genre. And sadly, Chris, he's been interviewed not only on quote-unquote Christian channels, but he even made it on Fox News. He was interviewed on set, too, not even a Zoom call. He was on set and interviewed by Ainsley Earhart or whatever.
Yeah, she was...
Sorry. I think it was Kayleigh McEnany.
Yeah.
But anyway.
The former press secretary for President Trump.
Yes, yes. Kayleigh McEnany. That's who interviewed him. And she just bought it hook, line, and sinker. But I've been going down the rabbit hole with Gabe Burrow. Literally all of the other heavenly tourists, the things he says are unbiblical. They are extra biblical. He contradicts what other heavenly tourists say. And Chris, like they all do, he contradicts himself. He can't keep his own story straight. He contradicts himself, and I'm showing this. I've done several videos on my YouTube channel on him.
Now, wasn't he a guest on your program?
He was.
Did he know who you are?
You know, he had to know at some level, because his first email to me, I could tell by the things he said, he had some familiarity with me. I honestly do not know why he wanted to come on to my channel so strongly, but he did. I mean, he was adamant that he wanted to come on my channel. And so Jim and I decided, oh, okay, well, if that's what you want to do. And we had him on there, and it didn't go well for him. You look at the comments, they're overwhelmingly against him. It did not go well for him. I'm working on yet another video on him, Chris, and I'm going to show that Gabe Perot is rapidly taking stuff off the internet. He's doing a massive cover-up operation ever since my first video on him came out, and I'll have that, Lord willing, in the next couple of days.
All right, let me take one more question from a listener that it's not on Paula White, because I do want to get started on having you expose her further. Joey in New Rochelle, New York, just a thought on how serious this kind of thing is. Some time ago, I went to Manila in the Philippines for 7 weeks. While I was there, I encountered a young Filipino man who was a disciple of William Branham. Since Branham died in the 1960s, he was apparently a product of missions work of Branham's disciples. I was amazed at how fervently he believed that Branham was Elijah. I reasoned with him for hours and seemed to make no impact. I can only hope that some fruit of those discussions came later. It is so important that we ground new believers in sound doctrine. There was no question there, but interesting story. You got any comments, Justin?
Yes. Yes, indeed. Yeah, William Branham, he was another one of quote-unquote God's generals. And, a theological heretic. He actually denounced the Trinity as a demonic doctrine. He said that Trinitarianism is of the devil, thus saith the Lord. So he claimed divine revelation knowledge for that belief that the Trinity is a demonic doctrine.
Now, is he adopted as a hero by Trinitarian Pentecostals and charismatic people?
Oddly, yes. Which just shows you again, the complete lack of discernment in this movement. There just is not. There is no discernment in this
movement. Because at one time, wasn't it the Assemblies of God that excommunicated the Oneness Pentecostals?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
In the early 20th century?
Yes, that's correct. I don't know. It is early 20th century. I don't know the exact year, but yes. But he is. Now, there are Pentecostals today who affirm the Trinity, and they would say, well, Brother Branham was just wrong on that. That's a pretty big thing to be wrong about. we're not talking about who you think wrote the book of Hebrews or when was the date of the Exodus. The nature of God, that's a pretty big thing to be wrong about. And he also, by the way, claimed to be Elijah. He's another one of these of God's generals that claimed to be a reincarnation of Elijah.
Well, thank you, Joey. If you could now, I know that most people in our audience likely have some understanding of Paula White or have heard of her to some degree, but give us a little history on her and why we should be extremely concerned that this woman is a spiritual advisor to the leader of the free world, namely our President Donald Trump.
Yes, Chris. Well, Paula White was born actually in my home state of Mississippi, and she is a word of faith heretic. Prosperity gospel, health and wealth gospel. She's on her third marriage. She has quote unquote pastored several churches, and she is one of the worst of the worst of the worst. She is one of the most obvious charlatans and heretics ever to disgrace the name of Christ. She had an affair with Benny Hinn.
And that was confirmed that happened?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, she may try to deny it, but there's photos of her and Benny Hinn walking out of a hotel. I believe it was in Italy, if memory serves, in Milan, Italy, I think. But anyway, coming out of a hotel, holding hands, they stayed in the same room. All that investigative reporting has been out. They stayed in the same room, and I mean, come on, they weren't in there playing Chinese checkers. They very much had an affair, and Costi Hinn will tell you that they did. So I mean, again, this is typical of false teachers. There's no restraint on their flesh. Paula White claims to have been to heaven. She says she's been in the throne room of God. She saw God and describes him as having a body, even though we know that God the Father does not have a body. Jesus does, but God the Father does not. She has given high praise and had a close relationship with the woman who's called Mother Moon. The Moonies, Mother Moon in South Korea. And this is a cult. I mean, this is an objective, like, bona fide cult that Mother Moon claims that she is a female Jesus Christ. I mean, just like every, like, imagine your worst idea of what a cult is. That's who Mother Moon is. And I think she just recently died, I believe. But Paula White has been over and had a close relationship with her, praised her, raised money for her. And this is a woman that, sadly, Chris, even some pastors who are in our loose theological circles, like I'm thinking of one guy in particular named Josh McPherson. He claims that he is Reformed-ish, I suppose, but he's also charismatic. And this is a guy whose whole ministry is like, let's be manly, act like men and all this kind of thing, conservative, get your pickup truck and your guns, and I'm fine. I've got a pickup truck and I've got more than one gun, but it's this manly kind of persona. And yet he's praising Paula White. I mean, if you're praising Paula White, who is claims to be a female pastor, turn in your man card. I don't care how big your truck is. I don't care how many guns you got. Turn in your man card. So, this is a woman who has spent decades exploiting the poor and the sick for her own personal financial gain. I have got clip after clip after clip of her telling sick people, you want to be healed? Send me your money. Give me your money. In fact, one clip, she actually says, she's talking to people who are making a decision like, do I give my money to Paula or do I pay my bills? And she said, you think the power company is going to heal your child?
Wow.
Your sick kid? You think the power company is going to heal your kid? The implication is, well, no, the power company won't. So I won't pay my light bill. I'll give my money to Pastor Paula because that will bring a healing to my sick child. She is a despicable, loathsome individual who has brought untold reproach upon the name of Christ. And yet, you look, she's the head of the White House Faith Office. And I'm just going to, Chris, what I'm about to say, I'll take the heat. I don't want people to get mad at Chris Arnson for what I'm about to say. Direct your anger at me, but I'm going to call out two very prominent Southern Baptist pastors who also praise her, Robert Jeffress and Jack Graham.
Yep.
And they have praised her and endorsed her, and these men know better. These are two of the most prominent names in the Southern Baptist Convention. And Chris, if you were to ask Robert Jeffress and Jack Graham, do you believe that the Bible allows a woman to be a pastor? They would have to say, no. Okay, then why are you endorsing Pastor Paula White? Do you believe that it's always God's will to be healed? No, we don't. Okay, then why are you endorsing Paula White? Do you believe that if you give a preacher money that God will heal you or your child of cancer? No, that's horrible. Then why are you endorsing Paula White? I tell you, I'm going to say that I have more, this is going to sound weird, I have more respect for Paula White than I do Robert Jeffress and Jack Graham, because at least Paula White lives out what she believes. It's horrific, but at least she lives out her own theology. Robert Jeffress and Jack Graham do not.
And of course, there are men who know better who are remaining silent about this. Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, he is not from that charismatic background, and he is, from what I understand, is some kind of sovereign grace-believing Baptist, Southern Baptist, and yet these people are fearing men more than God because they know that if they push Trump too far with any disagreement, they're gone.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. And Chris, you just hit the nail on the head. That's why they will not only not call out Paula White, that's why they're endorsing Paula White, because Paula White is their ticket to access to power. She is their access to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. That's why they will not call her out. That's why they endorse her, because they have access to Donald Trump through her. And I say that with no disdain towards Trump, because Trump is not a Christian. Donald Trump is not a believer. He doesn't understand the gospel. Clearly, he does not. I voted for him. Three times I voted for him. I appreciate his policies. I'm glad he's the president. I appreciate what he's doing, but I'm also sober-minded about it. I know that he's not a believer. So my ire is not nearly, it's not directed at Donald Trump at all, but that Paula White is there. He doesn't know any better. He's unregenerate. He's a lost man. But Robert Jeffress and Jack Graham, they know better. they know better, and they bear far more responsibility. I guarantee you, Chris, I guarantee you not Robert Jeffress, nor Jack Graham, nor Franklin Graham. None of those men who know Paula White's a false teacher, I guarantee you not one of them has called to Donald Trump and said, Mr. President, we need to warn you, Paula White is a false teacher. She's an enemy of the gospel. Guarantee you not one of them have done that. Otherwise, they wouldn't still have access to the White House.
Yes, and it's a tragedy that that's so for many reasons. Not only does it demonstrate a lack of love and concern for President Trump, dismissing the importance of this to his own soul, but it is such a dangerous thing for the safety of the United States, is it not? I mean, we are currently involved, although we're, I believe, on a ceasefire right now, but in bombing a foreign country. And no matter what you believe about that, I have Christian friends who think it's absolutely the right move. I have Christian friends who believe it is wrong that we're being a puppet of the modern state of Israel and Benjamin Netanyahu. And there is a lot of heat and tension between these two people who have these two positions, even if they are sharing my theological beliefs. But whatever your position is on those things, when you have a man that could start a nuclear war, who is listening to a woman who has satanic beliefs, who is a knowing charlatan, who knows what kind of dangerous mess this country could get into that would affect all of us as citizens.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. God is not mocked. And as grateful as I am for the policies of President Trump, that these false teachers have such access to the White House is very concerning for me. God, one of God's judgments against people is false teachers in and of themselves. They are false teachers in and of themselves are part of God's judgment. And so even though in many ways we as Christians think we have a bit of a reprieve under Trump, and in many ways we do, the judgment of God is not asleep. God is not mocked. And this is the face of Christianity that we're portraying to the entire country and to the world. The face of Christianity in the United States of America, when they look at the White House and who is the head of the White House Faith Office, and that head is Paula White. You're inviting the judgment of God. You are testing God. You're testing his patience by doing that. And Robert Jeffress and Jack Graham have an enormous amount of culpability before God in what they are doing. They have made it very clear that they're the person to whom they are most obligated to is not Christ, it's Donald Trump. And those men are going to have to give an account. I fear for them. I truly, truly do fear for them.
And we're just going to go to a brief final break. And if you yourself have any questions that you would like to submit before we run out of time, send them to chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, city and state and country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in his sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession. We embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's word for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging, and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday.
We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, we'll see you soon.
Hello, this is Brian Nine, president of Hearts for the Lost Ministry. Our sole mission is to serve the local church and work directly with and alongside pastors and elders with their efforts to equip, excite, and educate their flock in biblical evangelism. We also provide practical experience opportunities in sharing the gospel directly within your immediate community. We accomplish this mission with training and Christ-centered outreach events designed to equip the church and proclaim the good news of the gospel. Our services are always 100% free. If you're looking to equip and mobilize your church for faithful gospel witness, please partner with us. Hearts for the Lost Ministry, serving the church, proclaiming the gospel. Contact us today at heartsfortheloss.com. That's heartsfortheloss.com. Now, have a heart and go share your faith.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net, or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And mark your calendars, folks, for May the 4th. May the 4th be with you. We have the three pastors of that wonderful church, Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, coming on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's Rich Jensen, Christopher McDowell, and Anthony Uvinio, all dear, dear friends of mine. They are going to be discussing 30 years of the doctrines of grace at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, and they are going to be celebrating their 30th anniversary as a church on the last Sunday of May, and God willing, I will be there in Coram, Long Island, joining in the festivities. I can't wait to see these brethren again, and that is my home away from home when I visit my old stomping grounds on Long Island. So I hope that you mark your calendars for the 4th of May for that program. And also, going back a few days earlier, Thursday of next week, Ken Ham returns to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Ken and I are going to be paying tribute to a mutual friend of ours, Charlie Liebert, who was a local resident here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Who was originally, interestingly enough, from Amityville, Long Island, where I'm from, but we never met each other that we know of back in those days, living in Amityville. I first met him when he moved to Carlisle, Pennsylvania, shortly after I did. I moved here in 2014, and he became a member of the Redeemer Orthodox Presbyterian Church. And Charlie, just a few weeks ago, went home to glory, and he was a colleague of Ken Ham's at Answers in Genesis, and then later, years later, founded his own ministry, SixDayCreation.com, and became a very dear friend of mine very quickly. And I thank God for that and the friendship we had. He's been a guest on this program many times and co-hosted with me when I, one of the times I had Ken Ham on. So next Thursday, Ken Ham will be on the broadcast and join me for a loving tribute in memory of Charlie Liebert. And we will be joined by the pastor of Redeemer Orthodox Presbyterian Church, Jeremy Brandenburg. Sorry about that. who is also a friend of mine. He was Charlie's pastor while here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. And so I hope you join us for that special Iron Trippin's Iron program. Before I go to any listener questions, I do want to make sure that you have said the most important things that need to be said about Paula White.
Yeah, I think I hit kind of the main themes, Chris. You know, she's manifestly unqualified and disqualified. She is both unqualified and disqualified from being in any kind of ministry. A, she's a female who preaches, who pastors. That's unbiblical. Her bad theology, her false prophecies, her exploitation of the poor and the sick for her own personal financial gain, her own sexually immoral lifestyle. There's even a video of her and her current husband talking about it on a Sunday morning, by the way, in their own church, recommending couples watch pornography together. That this was said
wow.
from the pulpit of their own church.
Yeah. Said from the pulpit?
From the pulpit. Her husband said it, Jonathan Cain, Cain, you know, the drummer or singer for Journey or whatever he is. But he said that, and she was standing right next to him, and she just kind of laughed and went along with it. But yeah, I have that on video.
And what was the reason he was recommending this?
They were apparently talking about doing a sermon series on marriage, and you know, it came to sexual intimacy, and he said, "Ladies, you need to do whatever he wants to do, whatever he likes. If that means watching porn together, watch porn together."
See, yeah, we all know that the apostles in the Bible took married couples to brothels in the area so that they could witness these things to improve their marriage intimacy. I mean, this is like straight out of the pit of hell.
Absolutely it is, Chris. Absolutely it is. Yeah. I mean, she is an absolute disgrace to the name of Jesus Christ. Absolute disgrace.
Amen. Well, we have Loretta in Bixby, Oklahoma. And Loretta has a question for you. Have you ever seen a major Word of Faith Pentecostal pastor convert to biblical Christianity? I know of one, and you know him too, John Sampson. You know John.
Yeah, that's right. John Sampson.
John Sampson was actually a TV host as well in the Trinity Broadcast Network.
Yeah, he hosted the Praise the Lord show on TBN a few times, and he wasn't very well known, but he knew Paul and Jan Crouch, and he knew Andrew Womack, and so he's run in those circles. So he was never one of the big name Word of Faith preachers.
Right.
He definitely ran those circles.
But he was a pastor too in that movement.
Yes, that's correct.
Mm-hmm. And he's a Reformed Baptist now.
Yes.
In fact, everybody heard his commercial, I'm sure, on my show.
Oh, that's right. Yep. That's right. That's right.
And
but outside of John Sampson, and I'd say Costi Hinn, who only helped his uncle, you know, kind of worked for his uncle. He didn't have his own TV show or his own church or anything. But those would be the two biggest names. Now, I've gotten emails from a lot of former Word of Faith preachers who God has opened their eyes for, and now they're preaching the truth. But nobody would know who I didn't know who they were. So.
Yes, and to scale it down as to the average person, I've met many people who have abandoned the charismatic movement, who have become believers in the doctrines of grace and have become cessationists.
Yep.
And
yep, that's right. That's right. So have I. Yep. But unfortunately, none of the big names, like no Kenneth Copeland or Joel Osteen or Joyce Meyer or Paula White. No, nobody on that scale that I'm aware of.
And by the way, thank you, Cindy in Findlay, Ohio. But Justin beat you to the punch, as you heard, by bringing up Costihan. Keep those questions coming into the Iron Trip and Zion radio program. Let's see. We have Roger in Baltimore, Maryland wants to know, do you have any videos that lead Christians through a step-by-step model on how best to evangelize people in the Word of Faith movement?
Well, not that specifically, no, but I do talk about that in my seminar, Clouds Without Water, and that's available on a DVD set for those people who still have DVD players. But I also have YouTube videos that address that. Basically, Chris, what I like to do with someone in the Word of Faith movement, I'll start with something very simple, a very simple question. Usually, do you believe it's always God's will to be healed? And if they're Word of Faith, they'll say, oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, then what do you do with Moses, who was sick? What do you do with Elisha, who died of a sickness? What do you do with Job? What do you do with Timothy? Take a little wine for your stomach and your frequent ailments. What do you do with the Apostle Paul, Galatians chapter 4? Verses 13 and 14, he had a bodily illness. And so I give them just a handful of examples, of the many examples of faithful servants of God who were sick and were not healed. And so then they have to make a decision. Who am I going to believe? The TV preacher I've been listening to, or what I see in black and white right in front of me in the Word of God? And it sounds weird, but what I want to do is I want to create doubt. I want to create doubt in the minds of people towards these Word of Faith preachers that they've been listening to. I want them to think, gosh, are they really teaching me the truth? And they're not. So, and then just give them the gospel.
Amen. We have Anthony in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Excuse me. Anthony said, I heard your excellent interview with the professor at Reformed Theological Seminary in Charlotte, North Carolina. Oh, he's speaking to me right now, not you, Justin.
Okay.
The Reformed professor of Christian counseling who wrote his doctoral dissertation on the demonic realm. And I thought you did an excellent job warning about the false teacher, Chad Ripperger, the Roman Catholic exorcist, that is being promoted on very well-known and highly watched podcasts on YouTube. I was wondering if Justin had anything to add about the warnings of modern-day exorcists, because unfortunately, since Reformed people tend to shy away from dialogue on this issue, there are people who are experiencing something demonic who are going to false teachers for answers. Yeah, that's right. That's one of the reasons that I did the program with Keith Evans. And by the way, Anthony, he is coming back for part two of our conversation Wednesday of next week. And we're going to spend more time exposing the Roman Catholic priest and exorcist Chad Ripperger for his falsehoods. That's going to be more targeting him throughout the program. But, Justin, do you have anything to say about that?
Yeah. As we said earlier, Chris, a Christian, a true believer, cannot be possessed by a demon, certainly not Satan. If you're a believer, you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is strong enough not to put up with any unwelcome demonic roommates. If you're a believer, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. There's no room for any other entity inside of you. Even if the devil didn't exist, if demons didn't exist, we would have enough to fight just with our own fallen flesh. So, don't go to the modern day demon slayers. They are teaching unbiblical doctrine. They're actually keeping people inside the very spiritual bondage from which they claim to extricate people. They're keeping them in bondage, not delivering them out of it. So stay away from Mike Signorelli, Alexander Pagani, Vlad Savchuk, Greg Locke, all that crowd.
All right. Well, don't forget, folks, Justin's website is justinpeters.org. justinpeters.org, and there is a treasure trove of information there. Justin, thank you so much for being my guest today. I always love having you on, and I look forward to many return visits from you. I want to thank everybody who listened, and I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.